Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear, and some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in that I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I know not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me and my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him also, to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do ask for your blessing upon your word, and as we have come together this afternoon to break forth the bread of life, we pray, Father, that you will impart to us such manner of your word that we might receive it in the name of Jesus Christ and be blessed thereby, And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin our study in the book of Philippians, we want to take note that this is a prison epistle and written sometime around AD 60. We find that Paul is under perhaps house arrest to Nero, and upon the occasion of the writing to Philippi, we find that there is a certain acknowledgement of a gift of money from the church at Philippi, and we find also brought to the apostle by Epaphroditus. We also take particular note of such things as the joy and rejoicing, which he mentions in this book. It is an uplifting book as we look at it, and of these this letter which is written unto the Philippian Christians. And we find that such a verse as verse 21 stands out within the midst of this first chapter. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and now writing to the church at Philippi, and bring certain salutation unto them. And so we find the beginning of this letter, of course, is in his typical manner of salutation, as he brings certain identification of himself and of the church at Philippi, and with certain greeting to them. And so verse 1, Paul an apostle, or Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Timothy, of course, is one of Paul's co-laborers, and he is identified here with Paul. We find that he writes to the church at Philippi under such wonderful conditions as to send his blessing and his grace unto them, and therefore he mentions the twofold aspect of that grace and peace from God and our Father. So we find that these words, of course, come across as those words of blessing and of greeting to the church at Philippi. And, of course, he writes to the saints in Christ Jesus. As we know that that term is a term referring to those who are Christians at Philippi, those who love the Lord, those who are believers. And so we find that this is a common phrase used by the Apostle Paul in his address to the churches. We also find here that in this brief introduction and salutation, that there is much to say in thanksgiving to God for the church at Philippi, because he appears to be very thankful for them, and so there is thanksgiving and prayer which is offered or mentioned on their behalf as he prays for them at Philippi. Just looking at the introduction then, and then this particular word of thanksgiving that the apostle makes, is a reminder to us of the nearness of the fellowship in Christ that we have one with another. That upon greeting one another, we greet one another not only in the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1, as Paul greets them, but we also greet them in relationship to their relationship to Christ as being saints or beloved of the Lord, also again verse 1. And that he does not leave out the corporate body of the church at Philippi, because he says, with the bishops and deacons. And so, just in the introduction there, we find that closeness of fellowship that is involved in the body of Christ, and that we ought to have one with another. And so when we come together, I trust you think of the church as a body of Christ, and you think of the church as in Christ Jesus, and you think of that body of believers as being those who are saints, beloved of the Lord, sanctified of the Lord, set apart unto the Lord, that the grace and the peace of God is made known unto them and is evident through them. These things are a part of the fellowship that we have in the body of Christ and, of course, in Christ Jesus. And so also, secondly, this grace and peace is from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. The grace of God, which is unto salvation, for by grace are ye saved, but also the peace of God. That is, God has given to us peace. As Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And so this peace of God comes as a byproduct of the grace of God. Because of the grace of God and salvation, we have the peace of God ruling and reigning in our hearts. And so this introduction reminds us of that fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. A fellowship one with another, as we acknowledge one another, Paul and Timothy unto the church at Philippi, you and I, in faith and in Christ, here in this church, and also with all them who are in Christ Jesus, the saints, and of those who make up that corporate body in his leadership, the bishops and deacons. And so this grace of God is to be predominant within the body of Christ. It is an aspect of the Church of Jesus Christ wherein we rejoice and give thanks to God, which Paul does as he goes on from there in verse 3 through 11. We find he begins with this word of thanksgiving, thanksgiving and prayer for the church at Philippi and for the believers at Philippi. I wonder if you have ever thought about giving thanks to God for those Christians who make up the local assembly where you attend. Those believers who pray for one another, those believers who support one another in the church in fellowship, those believers who come together for fellowship in not only in prayer but in the lifting up of the Word of God and the reading of the Scripture, believers who come together tenderheartedly one to another, realizing that we are in like faith and in like fellowship, that we look and long for the same Lord and await His coming again, that we as believers are one in Christ, in faith and in spirit and in baptism. We are one in Christ. This is the body of Christ. Paul thanking God upon every remembrance of them at Philippi. That's what it says in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And so he truly did thank God for them at Philippi. In every prayer of mine and with joy he gave thanks. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. You see, every prayer of mine. For you all, making request with joy. And so we have that aspect of thanksgiving for them, the remembrance of them, praying for them, and making certain requests with joy for them at Philippi. So I would say this is a good model of praising God in prayer for one another and for the brethren wherein you go to church. So these are prayers of joyful thanksgiving for his readers, the response to the gospel, as are a hallmark of those opening sentences of Paul's letters. Whether we're looking in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, 1 Corinthians 1:4, Colossians 1:3, 1 Thessalonians 1:2, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, 2 Timothy 1:3, Philippians chapter 4, all of these mentioning that those aspects which we are talking about here, certain thanksgiving unto God, prayer and joyfulness. God is good to bless his people, and that those who serve in the ministry are thankful for those who also are a part of the ministry and other aspects of it. And so Paul here is relating to the church at Philippi of his thankfulness for them, and that he wants them to be blessed, that he is truly very joyful about praying for them, and looks forward to their company and to their fellowship. And so here Paul modeled what he later advised the Philippians to practice in their own life. That is, that they might be truly thankful one for another and have great joy and rejoicing in those things. And so we find that Paul opens up his heart to the believers at Philippi in this manner, as we always ought to open up our hearts to one another and be willing to thank God for the work of the ministry and for one another. He says, your fellowship in the gospel. As we look at verse 5, he says, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And so the basis of Paul's prayerful thanksgiving was not only their reception or the receiving of the gospel message, but also their active support for the ministry. And so this is one of the things that is, of course, a part of the reciprocal work of the ministry. Those who are praying and supporting those who are involved in the work of the ministry and share with those who also work in the ministry. In Philippians 4:15 it says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did share with my afflictions. As he speaks about the needs that he had and of how that the Philippian Christians were also very good to share with him concerning those things. And so the basis of Paul's confidence was God's divine work. That is, God was doing a work in the believers at Philippi. And God is doing a work in you today as well. And as God has begun that work, he will continue it unto the day of Jesus Christ. A good work. God has begun a good work. You see, that's the kind of the theme that I'm using for this first message. God has begun a good work. He's begun a work in you and in me, and beginning that work, we should have the greatest of confidence that the Lord will finish that work. And so it is that Paul has a great heart in the Lord Jesus Christ for these believers at Philippi. He says, from the first day, when Paul first came to Philippi, you might refer to Acts chapter 16 and verse 12, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony, we're reminded in this city some days, remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who came together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Paul gives that testimony in Acts chapter 16, in verse 12 through 15. So we find that he was involved in the work of the ministry very early that resulted in the church at Philippi. As in the book of Acts, we see that work being underway as Lydia is brought into salvation as one of the first Christians. And of course, we know the Philippian jailer and his household were brought unto faith in Christ. Also noted in the book of Acts, and may relate to Acts chapter 28, verses 16 to 31. And when we were come to Rome, Paul was allowed to stand by himself with the soldiers who guarded him. And 3 days he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when he had gathered, he said to them, Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Rome. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Rome, or Caesar, I should say, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain. Well, we know Paul was taken, he was put in prison for the gospel of Christ. And so his first Roman imprisonment is there mentioned. In other words, we find that Paul suffered much for the preaching of Christ, whether because he preached at in the book of Acts concerning some of these believers who came to Christ. Paul found himself under certain chain because of this. And so the basis of Paul's confidence, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now here is the confidence that we should have. Paul had this confidence that, in other words, his confidence was in the Lord. His confidence was that God was going to finish the work that he had begun. God would encourage the believers at Philippi. He encourages us. God would bless them with a sense of instruction and in righteousness, even as he instructs us. God would bless them with a sense of support and good welfare for the work of the ministry in faithful service to the Lord, even as he encourages us in those very same things. In other words, our Christian life is not left to chance. God is proactively involved in our life that we might truly be all that he means for us to be in the Lord. And so the basis of Paul's confidence was God's divine work in them at Philippi, and we might say in us as well, here in this place. So Paul was confident not only in what God had done for the Philippians, for forgiving their sins, etc., but also what he had done in them, that is, that work of righteousness in them. Look at verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. The forgiveness of sin, but also the fruits of righteousness come to play. God is working out in us our salvation. And so as James tells us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, we find that God also is involved in this work in us, that he might continue to encourage us in that work which has begun in us. And Paul had the greatest confidence that the church of Philippi would continue to progress and would be blessed of the Lord. And so we see that work here refers to God's activity in saving them as a great work of God and His presence among them. For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 13, 12 and 13, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Actually, that's in this passage, not James. Verse 13, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So this very book supports those aspects of Christ working and His blessing in the believers, in the believers of Philippi and in us as well. Until the day of Jesus Christ. So see, we find this phrase being given to us, being confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so this specifies, as it were, a time of His return when their salvation would be brought to full completion. That is, right now we are sanctified, and we've been sanctified, that is, in Christ Jesus. When we came to faith in Christ, you were sanctified, you were set apart in Christ. That's the first aspect of sanctification. The second aspect of that sanctification is God's working out in you, and if you will, that working out or maturing in the Christian life. And so there is a progressive, ongoing work of sanctification, but someday we will be glorified with the Lord. We will be fully sanctified with the Lord, or set apart unto the Lord fully in that. And so when we are brought to that full completion, it is God who initiates salvation, who continues it, and who will one day bring it to full consummation. So even though we are saved, we there is a sense we are being saved. We not only are saved, but in a sense we are being saved unto a future day when that full salvation will be realized. Right now we realize it by faith. Abraham says, I look for a city whose builder and maker is God. The whole of chapter 11 of Hebrews points to people who by faith believed in God and had hope unto a better life. And in other words, they look forward to a day of complete salvation or sanctification or glorification in Christ. The kind of like the consummation of the end of their very hope and faith in the Lord is that which they were looking to. And so Paul emphasizes his partnership with the Philippians by calling them partners of my grace, in the sense of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ being in them and through that work which has begun in them. Being confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. Now, obviously, Paul did not have much grace to give anybody as far as the grace of God in salvation. He only had that message of grace to give. And, of course, that is the grace which he speaks of, that grace of God, which God had imparted unto him and also given to him to preach unto others. And so this grace which God gives is that grace which is of his own merit. The grace God has extended to Paul in his work and ministry, and also in imprisonment, as far as he is prisoned, even as Paul is imprisoned. The believers at Philippi identified themselves with the Apostle Paul, and of course Epaphroditus comes into the picture here as communicating with Paul to the Philippian church. They have become one with Paul in his persecution, and so God's grace extended to the apostle through them at Philippi. And so the one who has begun that work will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, we'll stop right there and come back to it next week and go on to the aspect of the Christian life, rejoicing in the midst of sufferings for the Lord. Shall we bow together in prayer? Loving Father, we do thank you for your grace to us. We do thank you for your mercies to us, for the peace of God which you have given to us. We thank you, Father, that we have the fellowship in all these things in Christ Jesus, in the tender mercies of Christ. And Lord, we are thankful that we can pray for one another in concerning these things, and that we can receive the blessing of God even in our own fellowship in the midst of various things that are going on. But we have this greater confidence, for it is in Christ Jesus, not in ourselves, that Christ, who has begun this work in us, will continue this work in us even until the day of Jesus Christ, even until the end of the age, or the consummation of the age. And Lord, we praise you for such hope that we have in Christ, and rejoicing in Christ, and the joy of our salvation. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.